So he's only saying that so even if you don't reflect on the how all these concepts well, but still, if you have the kind of habit of saying, or may saying the prayer that may all the mother beings, mother sentient beings, be happy and devoid of suffering, and so forth. So that indication that you have a very very good basis as a foundation for development, for the progress in this cultivation of the bodhicitta. So if you strive in the development of the bodhicitta, definitely, so because of this firm basis, proper grounding, you can generate bodhicitta quite soon. So those beings who have been so kind to you, so when they are tormented by the three kinds of sufferings, the suffering, and those sentient beings, they may not behaving that at the evident suffering or the suffering, and yet they are having the potencies or the potential for all these suffering. So when someone is so kind to you, and even in the conventional sense, if you are not being grateful to that person who has been so kind to you, it is considered so shameful, so embarrassing, so bad. And if this is the case, even in the conventional sense, then there is no need to mention about a Mahayana practitioner. So, as a Mahayana practitioner, so you have to imagine that, it will be totally against the wish of the Buddha that you're not trying to be grateful and not remembering the kindness of those great beings and not trying to repay for the kindness that you have received from them. So, that way you are to reflect. The text reads, "There is nothing less shameful than carelessly neglecting your suffering, suffering protectorless kind mothers, just because you do not recognize them anymore due to birth and death transference, and being preoccupied with freeing yourself from cyclic existence." In the letter to a student, it says, "If I neglect my relatives who have become a part of the ocean of cyclic existence and appear to have fallen into an abyss, whom I do not recognize due to birth and death transference, and only liberate myself, nothing would be more shameless than that." So, when you're meditating on the attitude or the desire to repay their kindness, so you have to think this, that simply by letting the sentient beings to let them have a fortunate birth, so that is not sufficient, because that is something even those sentient beings, they themselves can do. So what should we be doing then in order to repay for the kindness of the sentient beings? So that is by letting them achieve the highest good, that is the state of enlightenment, state of full enlightenment, Buddhahood. So through actually generating these various attitudes or the mental states of the stages of the practice, like remembering all sentient beings as one's mother, and then remembering their kindness and generating the desire to repay for the kindness, so then naturally you will develop a sense of compassion, sense of love towards them. So next is actually generation of the mind striving for the welfare of others, meditating on love, meditating on compassion, meditating on the extraordinary attitude. So then, as said in the various literature, Buddhist literature, so the kind of the benefits one derives out of generating compassion and love will be just immense. The stages of meditation on love are to be respectively meditated initially on love for your friends and relatives, then for neutral persons, then for your enemies, and then for all sentient beings. The way in which to meditate on love, just as compassion arises when you reflect again and again on how sentient beings have the suffering of suffering, likewise, you should reflect again and again on how sentient beings lack contaminated and uncontaminated happiness and are devoid of happiness. Once you have familiarized yourself with this, the wish for them to meet with happiness will arise naturally. In addition, through directing your mind to the various kinds of happiness, you will then provide sentient beings with them. Next, meditating on compassion. The observed object of compassion is sentient beings who are suffering due to any of the three kinds of suffering. The aspect is the thought, how wonderful it would be if they were free from these sufferings. May they be free from them, and I'll free them from them. The sequence of the meditation is to meditate on compassion, first for your friends and relatives, then for neutral persons, then for your enemies, and then for all the sentient beings of the ten directions. So when we meditate on our love, so imagine all those beings who are without protector, who are without a benefactor. So if you listen to the various news, daily news, we can hear about all the different kind of crises. People encountering with all kinds of difficulties because of environmental disasters and so forth. So when we see these people or see these beings in destitute state, so you see that they are actually deprived of our happiness and pleasure. So hearing and seeing all these problems and crises, so you should actually take the opportunity of this in order to meditate on love. So then you, if you think, if you cultivate such an intention or desire that, oh, how good would that be that all sentient beings, those suffering beings have are having happiness and pleasures which they are deprived of. So in a very practical way, if you meditate while you, when you hear about, when you see about these crises and disasters, it should be really beneficial. So the kind of the problems, the sentient, even the animals are suffering nowadays is just enormous. So it's unimaginable. In the olden times, so they wouldn't have they wouldn't be any kind of such animal farm or the hen farm where a kind of individual person of feeds like or keeps like thousands and thousands of hens just in small cages. But nowadays, all these things are very prevalent. So, by reflecting on all kinds of sufferings of these different animals, these different beings, the suffering, the evident suffering, and the suffering in unmanifest state. So, if you reflect on these things, so there would be actually the ways by which you are to meditate upon the suffering nature of the sentient being, thereby then desiring that all beings be freed from these sufferings. So, say when you are just eating meat, so you just say that, oh, this meat is delicious, and the other one is not. Oh, it's quite awkward. And then also, just for the sake of money, so people then tend to kind of feed a whole lot of are pigs and hens and so forth. So in Tibet, for example, in the olden Tibet, so although the Tibetan people, they did kill animals, but they didn't do that just for money, or they didn't do that in a kind of in a great number. So if you reflect from all these points, angles, we could definitely see how the animals or the sentient beings, they are deprived of happiness and pleasures. So these are to be taken into consideration in your meditation, and thereby then try to generate such a powerful altruistic attitude or desire that may all these beings have happiness. Similarly, in the section of the teaching in common with the middle school person, we said that when we are meditating on compassion, we have to view beings who are being who are undergoing sufferings. And then also think about those beings who are involved in causing harm and causing suffering to countless numbers of other people. So while these people, when they are engaged in causing harm and inflicting pain on other people, so they are actually on their way accumulating enormous amount of negativities which would probably lead them to the state of suffering for themselves. So this means these people, although they are not undergoing the experience of suffering right now, but they are already fully actively engaged in accumulating the negative actions, which are actually the very fresh kind of causes for the sufferings that they are bound to undergo in the next lifetimes. So we think of those powerful, those people who have power. So those people, they take the suffering of change or the contaminated experience of pleasure as something, a genuine pleasure. And because of that, they are being then deceived by that misconception. So if you reflect on all these things, then you will see that those people who, on top of those people who are undergoing the suffering, we can also think about those people, though not undergoing the suffering, and yet they are fully actively engaged in accumulating the negativities which would then propel these beings in the state of suffering the next lifetimes. So if you reflect from all these angles, you see that some of are undergoing suffering and some are under the domination. They are being kind of administered by the delusions. So then you can think of how all beings, in some way or the other, they are being trapped in samsara, either directly or through the causes of the sufferings. So first, saying the prayer for offering prayer for tea. So sometimes we may think that totally being obsessed, reflecting on such points, it will simply make you more kind of upset. And you may think that, it would be better if you try to get rid of such thinking. So whereas in actuality, if you think about the suffering nature of others, so then naturally your thinking of the suffering state of yourself becomes kind of overridden because of those thinking. As such, in actuality, it would make you more comfortable and make you more courageous and gives you inner strength. And also if you think this way, that when one person tries to bully someone else, so naturally we will have a sense of compassion, some sort of kind of pity towards the person who is being bullied. But rather, we wouldn't have a sense of that sense of sense of love or a sense of sympathy towards the person who is bullying. So here, what exactly is happening is that you are actually seeing the evident suffering, and you are not seeing the suffering which is bound to be occurred, or which the inflictor of the suffering is going to undergo. So you are not going to see, you are not seeing that. So because in actuality, the person who is actually bullying the other person, so he is actually accumulating such a negative karma that that introduces himself to the series of sufferings that he is bound to undergo in the next lifetimes for many many eons in the future. So if you are actually undergoing suffering, and if you are being bullied by someone else, so this means that the very suffering that you are experiencing, so you are actually exhausting because of your experience of that suffering. You have some of the negative karmas that you have previously accumulated. They are being exhausted in the power. But whereas the other person who is bullying you, so that person is actually introducing himself to the more number of sufferings. More number of sufferings in the future lifetimes. So as such, so rather than actually generating compassion towards the person who is being bullied, it is a greater source of greater thing that you should generate compassion towards the inflictor of the pain. Over reflecting on how that inflictor of the pain is going to suffer dreadfully in the many next lifetimes.